Good morning. How is everyone doing? Hopefully you're wide awake and enjoying the beautiful weather. And soon we'll be into September. Next week is Labor Day. Can you imagine that? If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 91. And please look in your bulletin and take out the outline to follow along with the message. As we're going to continue in our series, Psalm Responses, as Mike had said before. It's how we're to respond to God through whatever circumstance we're in today. That last song really kind of set up where I'm going here this morning to start off is, who's going through a storm this morning? Is anyone going through a storm that you're saying, man, I'm going through something right now? We're all going through a storm of some sort, aren't we? Storms come and storms go. As soon as we get done with one, it seems like another goes through them. But we all go through them, right? Everybody goes through them. But when a storm comes and you're in the midst of a storm, what are you really looking for when you're in the midst of a storm? Relief. You're looking for some kind of refuge, some kind of shelter to go someplace inside of a storm, someplace where I can go to this refuge and I can find this inside of a storm. If there's a storm coming and you see it in the distance, see the heavy clouds are coming, that's it when you set up and say, hey, I think we're going to go outside and have a picnic. That's not when you go outside, hey, I think we're going to go outside and take the kids to play. That's when you see a storm is coming and lightning everything. Will you go find shelter to hide and have refuge from the storm? If there's a snowstorm coming with the blizzard, you don't go and plan big events. That's the time you go into shelter and you kind of get the refuge from the physical storms. Where do you go when spiritual storms come in your life? When those big storms of life come, those difficult circumstance storms, those family issue storms, when they come, where do you go to find the refuge in which you need? We need those places of refuge, even all the way from the beginning, where it first is a baby. When a baby is being born, what they need is their mom and their dad to pick them up and hold them close in their arms and to cradle them, to reassure them of the love and give that love and reassurance. That's what they need. And we never grow old of that. We always need that refuge, that safe place, that security. We all need that in our life. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. In your notes, God gives us refuge. And I'm going to get started right away. The number one, God gives us his refuge. And this is very important, in his presence. In his presence. If you have your Bibles in Psalm 91, let's begin reading verse 1 and 2. The psalmist writes, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. The psalmist here is expressing his great confidence in the fact that whoever comes and dwells in the Most High will find refuge. He says, who's ever in the presence of God will have this refuge. He says, will find refuge. There's an example that we find in the book of Isaiah. When Isaiah was going through a big storm in his life, his dear friend, the king Uzziah, had died. And Isaiah's like, what am I going to do? So what does Isaiah do? It tells us in Isaiah 6:1 that in the year that king Uzziah died, I went into the temple. Why did Isaiah go into the temple? Because he knew that God was there and he needed to be in the presence of God. And what happened when he went in the presence of God? God showed up. And God let him see heaven open up and allow Isaiah's eyes to see that heaven. And what did he find in heaven? He found God's glory in heaven. And he found that the train of God's robe filled the temple. And he was there in the temple and smoke was all around. Her angels are flying all around. And Isaiah was in awe of who God was there, right there inside of the temple. And then he finally realized, well, maybe this isn't a safe place to be in the presence of God. Because he realized to be in the presence of God and the glory of God, that no one can stand there and live. So God sends an angel and he comes and cauterizes Isaiah's lips. And then God says this to him. Then God said, whom shall I send and who shall go for me? And Isaiah says, God, here I am, send me. And we find that in the midst of the presence of God, which Isaiah was, that's where he found direction from God. That's when he was right there. He's in turmoil. What are we going to do? The nation is mourning. Our king has died. What are we going to do? And God reminds Isaiah, I'm still on the throne. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. I'm still there. And I'm giving you guidance. And he sends Isaiah out to talk to the people and to share with the people a certain message is what he did. And he gave guidance. And it's so good for us to be in the presence of God when we're going through a storm. We see that also in Peter's life. Peter had a similar experience. He just made a great confession in Matthew 16 where he told Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Imagine standing before Jesus and saying that. Jesus said, who do people say that I am? And he says, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He got that right. Of all the things he could have said, that was exactly right. And then Peter, James, and John, Jesus takes them up to a mountain. This mountain they call the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus moves them from a dimension that you and I recognize to another dimension. Dimension of eternity that you and I have not seen yet. And he takes them up there and he reveals his glory before the three, Peter, James, and John. And they're in front of Peter and Peter sees this. And what did Peter say? Peter said, we need to build a place here. We need to live here in this presence. We need to stay right here in this presence of God, in the presence of Jesus. Because Peter knows the difference between not living in the presence of God and being in the presence of God. He understood what that is. My question is, do you know that difference? Do you know the difference of living and being in the presence of God? Do you really understand what that is? Do you really know what it is to trust him? To really dwell in the presence of God? And that's what we're talking about. It says those who dwell in the presence of God. Not those who visit him in times of trouble. Not those who stop by once in a while. But it's those who dwell in the presence of God. Those who take up roots. Who take up residence in front of God there. Those are the ones that God is going to cover. That's what it's talking about here. That's what it means. So we see Peter had that, Isaiah had that, and Moses had that. It is possible that Moses, if you looked in your Bible in Psalm 91, they don't have an author there, but it is possible that the author is Moses. Some of the writers of the Talmud, in other words, and the rabbis would say that if there wasn't an author here, and we don't see that, they would go to the previous Psalm, and they would think that that author that wrote the previous Psalm would be the author. And we know the author of Psalm 90 is Moses, so many of them believe that Moses also wrote Psalm 91. It doesn't really matter who wrote it, but if you look at the language in Psalm 91, it kind of fits the person of Moses. Because Moses put up this tent that God told him to build. And then what Moses would do, he would go into this tent. And as he went into this tent, a cloud came down. And he would go in there and he would speak, as the Bible says, he would speak to Moses. God would speak to Moses, a man, as face to face. That he would come into the presence of God and Moses would speak to God. And he'd be right there and God would come down to meet with Moses and he would talk to him. And we know from scripture that God didn't allow anyone else to have that privilege of talking to him like that. But God tells us in Psalm 91 and he tells us in other places that you and I are to come into his presence. So something's changed, that God wants you and I now to come in the presence of God. What has changed? Well, Jesus changed it all. And we sang about that morning. Jesus changed it up because Jesus went into the presence of God. He went there right in the presence. Remember how things worked before when they had to bring in the sacrifice? There was this outer court and they would come in and they'd bring their sacrifice without blemish or without spot. And they'd bring it there. And this was a sacrifice that cost them something because they raised it on their own. And they'd bring this sacrifice and they wouldn't want to offer it to God. And they'd bring it to the priest and the priest would take that sacrifice and he would sacrifice that sacrifice, kill the sacrifice, and then he would take that blood into the holy place and he would set it apart and set themselves apart and he would offer that sacrifice to God. Then once a year, our priest would be chosen and he would be allowed to go into the third inner sanctum, to the Holy of Holies before God. That's the place where the Ark of the Covenant was. And he was able to go in there hoping that he would return to come out of there. See, only if the sacrifice was accepted by God did God give him permission to come back out alive. So as you heard it, that they used to tie a rope around the ankle in case something went wrong and God says, no, I don't accept that sacrifice, and he strikes him down. So the priest would go in there and he would take the blood of the sacrifice once a year and he poured on the mercy seat that covers the Ark of the Covenant. And if God accepted that sacrifice, the priest would come out and he would be alive and the people would know that their sins were covered for one more year. They would understand that. God has accepted our sacrifice, so our sins are covered for another year. But Jesus came and he changed all that. Jesus came from the glory of heaven and he came to the outer court, which was earth for him, and he took on the form of a servant, of a human being, and he came to offer himself. And Jesus went in the presence of God and he tore down the veil that separates mankind from the Holy of Holies, from the presence of God. And now you and I are able to come in the presence of God because Jesus went in the presence of God as he was sacrificed as the Lamb of God. And he took his own blood as the high priest and when it poured it on the mercy seat of God. And God accepted that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, a once for all sacrifice for sins forever. You say, well, how do we know that God accepted his sacrifice? Because on the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead to authenticate that I approve that that sacrifice of Jesus for sins is sufficient and complete. Remember how I said the priest would go into the third inner sanctum once a year, and he would go in there to the Holy of Holies and he offered the sacrifice. And if he came out alive, the people would know that God accepted the sacrifice, was accepted, and their sins were forgiven for one more year. But when Jesus rose from the grave, it was proof that God accepted everything that Jesus did, and our sins are forgiven for all of eternity, past, present, and future. Everyone has a possibility to have their sins forgiven through Jesus Christ. And now we can come into the presence of God. And when you and I pass from this life, that we will be in the presence of God because of what Jesus has done. But the Bible tells us that we don't have to wait until then. That you and I can realize that presence today, that we can come into the presence of Jesus today, of God today through Jesus. And God is pleading with you in Psalm 91 to come and dwell in the presence of God, to come there, because there's all kind of benefits for you and I as we come and dwell in the presence of God, is what it says. And he gives us the next benefit. God gives us refuge in his protection. He promised protection those who dwell in his presence. In verse 1, it says, we'll rest in the shadow of the Almighty. When you think, what is a shadow? What is a shadow? It's where this bright light is cast upon an object, and there's a silhouette of that object that is shown and displayed and cast upon the ground behind it or whatever is in its way. It kind of hides it from the light and protects it from the light. And that's what it is. You're to stand in the shadow of the Almighty, the Bible says. They were to stand in his shadow. As the bright light cast down, we were to be in the shadow of God. But also the image, when I think about this, that God promised that you and I are stand behind him, and whatever storms come, that God says, I'll face your storms. You're to stand behind me in my shadow, and I'll protect you from anything that would come your way. Many times, it's a hot, sunny day. You see parents, if they have little children, many times if the sun is bearing down, the mom and dad would take that little one. And if the sun is coming that way, they'll take the baby and they'll turn their back toward the sun so they can protect the baby from the effects of the sun, the effects that it will have upon their skin and all those kind of things so they won't get too hot. And what this also gives us, God is promising you and I that it will protect us from the effects of the world and from others, so they can't harm us. We're to stand in the shadow of the Almighty. In verse 3 and 4, he goes on, he says, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. Verse 3 uses the emphatic pronoun, he, surely he is what it talks about. It amplifies the care of the Lord, that God gets wholly involved in the care of his people. He gets personally involved in his lives. That's what it's saying. He gets intimately involved in us, not some distant God in a far off place. God is intimately involved, and he won't allow people to come and hurt us. Won't allow people to come in our lives to cause us to stumble and to fall. But God is there to protect us from the dangers of this world. And also talks about he has his feathers and his wings that he puts around us to protect us. Right outside the building here on the eave, there's been a nest up there of birds. And there's actually one nest and two birds. Actually, one had their little ones and they went away. And now there's a second set of birds up there, sparrows. And what I would notice is many times going out the door during the week that those birds would go up there and they'd have the eggs or they'd have the nest. And they would get those little birds underneath their wings and their feathers and to protect those birds from the elements that were coming at them. And that's what God gives us the picture that God does for you and I. God has said, come into my shadow, underneath my wings and my feathers. Not that God has wings and feathers, but it's given you and I the image that we can understand. We understand how a mother will protect their little ones. The hen will protect the little chicks underneath the wings and the feathers. And that's what it gives us the picture. God's divine protection is likened to that of a bird. He says, I will keep you from a fowler's snare, that you won't get hurt from that. I'll redirect your life and I'll help you and I'll protect you. And protection from God comes from a variety of different ways. We couldn't sit up here and give an exhaustive list of all the ways that God can protect you. You know what it's how he's protected you in your life. But here in this passage of scripture from 5 through 13, it gives us a big list how God protects us many times without us even knowing it. Let's read verse 5 on. He says, you will not fear the terror of night. And I want to stop there because many people fear darkness. They fear night. And right here, the Bible tells us that there's no need for you to fear that if you dwell in the presence of God. He says, I will protect you from darkness. I will protect you from the night. You do not have to fear from that. But he goes on, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. And what we see here is God promises his divine protection to you and I. No matter what comes in our life, God is saying, I will protect you. I will protect you. No matter what comes your way, God says, I will be your shelter. I will be your protection, is what God has promised you and I. As long as we walk with God, there's nothing outside of God's will that can touch us. There's nothing outside of God's will. When you and I dwell in the presence of God, God says, nothing can touch you without it coming through me first. And he gives us that promise. But here's the thing, what this means, so we understand it. We all know troubles are going to come. God tells us that he promised to be our protection, our shelter in those times of trouble. But troubles are going to come in our life. And it doesn't mean that God's going to take you out of that situation, out of that trouble, or take that trouble from you, that situation from you. That's not what he's promising here. What God is promising you, that he will protect you through it. As you're going through the storms in your life, whatever it may be, that circumstance, God says, I will protect you through it. I will see you through it. You may go through it. It may get very bad at sometimes, but I will protect you. I will be the one that will see you through those storms, no matter what they are. God promises to go before us and to fight our battles. And you and I are commanded, what we're commanded to do this, to stay in the presence of God and stay in the shadow of the Almighty. Wherever he goes, we're to follow him. It means staying in the shadow of Almighty, to stay in someone's shadow. What does that mean? I got to stay pretty close. It means I got to stay really close to them, right? I can't be some far off distance. I won't be in their shadow anymore. But so I have to be in his, stay in his shadow. It means I have to constantly be moving with God wherever God goes. If the sun is shining here and I'm standing in God's shadow and God moves over here, it means no longer I'm in his shadow, but I have to move with him. And God constantly wants us to move with him. And that's what it's talking about, that you and I are to walk with God, continue to walk with him. As I'm in that dwelling place with God, it doesn't mean I just stand there and I just wait. And I wait, and I wait. No, it means I continue to walk with God. I continue to pray. I continue to read. I continue to serve God and walk with him and be in his shadow wherever he guides me, wherever he leads me. I stay in the dwelling place of God, and I stay in his presence. I stay in the shadow of the Almighty. That's what he's saying. That's where his protection is. Wherever he goes, wherever he takes us, I got to stay close, real close to him. I can't expect God to protect me if I'm way over there away from him. He says, no, you got to stand in my shadow wherever I go, wherever I lead you. You got to stay right there with me, is what he promises. So he promises in his presence, refuge. In his protection, we'll find refuge. But also he promises when we do those, in his presence and in his protection, the third is we'll have his deliverance, in his deliverance. Verses 14, 15, and 16. He says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. God is promising to deliver all those who call upon his name in times of trouble. That's what he promised. Those who dwell in him, he promises protection, and he promises him also, I will deliver you. I'll deliver you and I'll rescue you. And we know that God will keep his word, right? We understand it. God will keep his word and he'll do what he says he'll do. And I think of Jesus, when Jesus came to this earth, he actually came on a rescue mission. We were all stuck in our sins and separated from God, and there was nothing that we could do about it. And so God the Father sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come to deliver you and I from our situation, from our sin problem. And Jesus Christ went to the cross, and he died on the cross for our sins. And everyone who places their faith and trust in Jesus now are delivered from their sins, from all of eternity. In the same way, God has promised to deliver you from whatever situation you are in. He promised to see you through it. He's promised to be your protector and deliver you. Whenever we call upon God, he says, I promise that he will deliver us. That's his promise that he gives you and I will deliver. Now, deliverance, we look at deliverance that sometimes if I've got some kind of sickness, God will deliver me from it, from that sickness. He'll take it from me. Do you realize sometimes deliverance is God? No, I'm going to deliver you for all of eternity. I'm going to take you home to be with me. God always heals. Do you understand it? God always delivers. It may not be the deliverance that we're thinking. God taking us home is the greatest healing and greatest deliverance there is. We're with him all of eternity. But sometimes we think, man, I need to be delivered in this life. God says, I've got something better, far greater. But God always heals. He always heals. And he always delivers. Those who dwell with him, he says that. But he says that we have to call upon him in times of trouble. We have to dwell in his presence is what he's telling us. So let me stop here for a moment. Let's kind of bring this together. God has promised you, if you come into his presence, he says he will protect you. And now you're under his protection. If you stay in his presence, if you dwell in his presence, he says, I will protect you. And he says, if you stay there in his presence and you have his protection, he says, he will deliver you. And you know that because we just read it, right? It was in this passage of Psalm 91, and you just heard it, so you know that. But knowledge without experiences can be very weak. We say, boy, I know that, but I don't have experience, so it's weak. And so there are time and times when you experience something, but you don't understand it, and that's weak. But when you understand it and you experience it, it kind of brings it all together. See, knowledge plus experience equals possession. I understand it. I've experienced it, now it's mine. And when I possess something, I'm able to share it with others and I'm able to give it away. So the big question this morning about this message in Psalm 91 is for you is, not do you understand what is being said. So what if you understand what is being said? That's not the question. The question is, what are you going to do with it? That's the question. And there's a verse in this psalm that tells you and I what to do with it, what we've just learned. And it's in verse 2. It tells you and I what to do with it. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You know what he's saying there? He says, I will confess God. I will proclaim him to others. We have to learn how to proclaim him. Not just wear the t-shirt, not just wear the have the bumper sticker on our car, but it's talking about proclamation. We have to learn how to proclaim him to others. We have to learn like the Apostle Paul did in Romans 1:16, where he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because of the power of the God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Greek. He says, first we have to know how to proclaim him. We need to do that in our lives to proclaim him. And not limit that. And proclamation can be a very important thing. It's a very powerful thing that we need to do. But before we proclaim him, we also have to make sure we possess the dwelling place that it's talking about in the presence of God. And Jesus provided, he died and provided that dwelling place for us. And anybody who's accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, now they have that dwelling place, and we need to make sure that we're dwelling there. We learn to dwell in the presence of God. Jesus provided that opportunity for you. And if you accepted him as your Savior, make sure you're doing that. For all of us that maybe are here, you're not a believer in Jesus Christ yet, let me say, today can be the last day you worry about that, because today you can place your faith and trust in Jesus today by simply understanding that God wants to have a relationship with you, and he wants you to come in the presence of God and to worship, but because of our sin, it has separated us from God. And there's no way that you and I can approach God on our own, because we're sinners and God is holy, righteous, and just, and just a big gap between us and God. So God sent Jesus, and I talked about this earlier. He came down from heaven, took on the form of a servant, and Jesus went to the cross, and God placed all your sins and my sins, the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future, upon Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross for all of our sins. For all of our sins, he died on the cross for it. And he paid the complete payment, so you and I have our sins forgiven, and now we can have access to the presence of God. But it doesn't apply to you and I till we reach out and accept what God did for us. In John chapter 1, it says, yet all received him. To those who believed in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. So we have to reach out and accept what Jesus did for us by faith, by coming to him and say, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and I turn to Jesus for forgiveness of sins and place my faith and trust in him. And you could do that today. In prayer, by just acknowledging that I know I'm a sinner and Jesus died for me, and turn to him and place your faith and trust in him. And you can do that. For the rest of us, and this is so important, for the rest of us, you have to learn to get closer in that to that dwelling place of God. We have to learn to draw closer every day to be in that dwelling place of God, and get closer and closer to him. So no matter what happens in your life, no matter what circumstance comes in your life, no matter what storm is raging in your life, that we're in our heart and we hurt our mind, this is very important. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Doesn't matter the situation. Doesn't matter if it's a small situation, you hear, come to Jesus. Doesn't matter if it's kind of a strong circumstance, strong storm, come to Jesus. No matter if it's a severe storm, the biggest of all storms, you hear, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. That should be constantly in our minds and our heads. Come to Jesus. Come into the presence of Jesus. Come into the presence of God. And that's what he says. There you will find his protection, and there you will find his deliverance. But we have to come through Jesus, and we have to live there. That's what it's talking about. You and I live there, not just to know him as Savior. As so many people say, I trust you, Jesus, as my Savior, so I'm good. No, Jesus said, I saved you for so much more than that. So you and I can dwell in the presence of God. That's what God wants for us. For we're to be in the presence of God, the Almighty God who created all things, the one we sing about, that we stay there in the dwelling place of God. That's what he wants for us. That's why Jesus saved you. Not just to say I'm saved through the faith of Christ, but I'm in the dwelling place of God, and that's where I reside. That's my place, to be close to him, be in the shadow of the Almighty wherever he goes. And when you and I are in the shadow of the Almighty, we allow his light to shine in and through us, so others too might come to know Jesus, and they too might come in the presence of God through Jesus. That's what the life's supposed to be about. Not just you and I, I've trusted Jesus, so I'm good, I can do my own thing. No, it's for you to continue to learn to dwell in the presence of God every day, every moment. We come back on Sunday morning, we get energized, and we come and we lift our celebration up to Jesus, but then we go out in the world and we share the light of Jesus to others. And that's what God wants, that we might dwell in the presence of God. Let's pray. Lord, I come and we praise you. And we praise you, God, because you are good. And you are good all the time. And your glory, Lord, goes way before you. Your glory is amazing. And everything you've done for us is amazing. And Lord, as we look at this passage of scripture, that not only you died on the cross for us so we might have access to the presence of God, but God, you really want us to dwell there. That's where you want us. You said, I just didn't save you just so you could say you're a believer and going to be in heaven, but I saved you and came to die so you might dwell in my presence, that you might have this intimate relationship with me, so you might take up residence in my presence, so you might be in my shadow constantly, be close to me. And I pray, Lord, that hits every one of our hearts and our minds this morning, that, Lord, we long to be close to Jesus. Lord, we want to be in that dwelling place with Jesus, that we have in our hearts and minds. God, I want to be under the feathers and the wings of God, and to be there, I've got to be close. And God, even if I draw close, I want to get closer. I want to get closer. I want to feel your presence, and I pray that for each person here this morning. They would come into the presence of God, and they feel how good it is. Good it is, and how warm it is, and they feel your protection and feel your deliverance, and they feel this is a good place to be. And Lord, it's so good that I don't want to leave. I want to stay in God's presence always. Wherever you go, God, I want to go. Wherever you take me, I want to go there, because that's the best place for me to be. Lord, let us dwell in the presence of the Almighty. Let us sing about your glory today. Lord, let's just say a message that I understand about. Lord, let's live this out in our own lives. Lord, we praise you and we worship you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.